You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. Trump Tower is the most scrutinized building in America today. Its lobby, a runway of power brokers and celebrities.
Kanye was just one of the VIPs who've been visiting Trump Tower. Others include Microsoft founder Bill Gates.
But before it became a symbol of wealth and now power, Trump Tower was just a building. WNYC's Jim O'Grady examines its architecture and what that says about the man who lives in the penthouse and has an office on the 26th floor.
We're going to work this like a reality show. So here are the judges, three New York-based critics.
My name is Michael Sorkin.
This is Justin Davidson.
Paul Goldberger.
Two of them have been writing about architecture since before 1983, when Trump Tower touched down in Midtown like a sideways ziggurat. At least one of these guys shook hands with Trump in the 1970s, and one of them will say an actual positive thing about the building. But mostly, they'll say stuff like this.
Sort of a tasteless approach to luxury. The architecture critic Ada Louise Huxtable called it the posh ladies' room decor.
That's Justin Davidson, architecture critic at New York Magazine.
It's not architecture. It's, how you say, real estate.
And that's architect Michael Sorkin. He runs his own architectural firm and writes about design. In the late 1970s, he went to a public hearing about a plan by a developer named Donald Trump to tear down the 11-story Bonwit Teller building with its sleek Art Deco lines and replace it with a sawtoothed high-rise.
I went with my friend George and we made a big fuss.
Sorkin says he critiqued the building's height and bulk and empty glitz in a neighborhood known for suave shopping salons made of understated stone. The surprise came after the hearing, when the 30-something Trump approached Sorkin and offered him...
I already hand clasped, and that kind of how you doing. Yeah, he's about my age. So he recognized a kind of brother, sybaritic, semi-hipster.
Sybarite, yes. Hipster, no. Anyway, Sorkin says you could view the handshake as a gracious gesture to an opponent. Except at the time of the hearing, Trump already knew nothing was going to stop him from putting up his tower.
I think when you win, you can afford to be gracious. I think he knows that.
Again, yes and no. Paul Goldberger, who writes for Vanity Fair, has been both buttered up and roasted by Trump. Goldberger reviewed Trump Tower in the New York Times in 1983. He began by saying it was less vulgar than the hoopla had led him to expect. Goldberger then praised the marble in the lobby, calling it warm, luxurious, and even exhilarating. Trump liked the line so much he blew it up and put it on a poster in the atrium.
It's indicative of that sort of desperate craving for approval, that he would take a sentence out of context, hail me as the great genius who would perceive this brilliant thing he'd done.
But Goldberger refined his opinion over time and said so.
In the subsequent years, modern architecture kind of redeemed itself and got more interesting, and the direction Trump was trying to go with it, which is just to take a glass box and tart it up with fancy marble and brass and stuff, didn't quite carry the day in the way he thought it did.
Predictably, Trump punched back.
Suddenly, I was not a great genius, but a horrible idiot who knew nothing about anything.
Goldberger says this dynamic played out with Trump and one of the world's most famous architects.
Frank Gehry claims that he turned Trump down 7 times. He didn't like him. He didn't respect him. Trump went from pursuing him desperately and flattering him and endlessly saying how much he admired his work and how he'd been to Bilbao to see his museum there, which Gehry actually checked and learned was false, that he'd never been there. But then when he turned him down definitively, Trump became so enraged that they ran into each other at some like charity dinner, and Trump refused even to acknowledge him or shake his hand or anything because he's unable to not personalize everything.
We called Frank Gehry. He wouldn't talk on tape, but he confirmed the story, including the snub at the charity dinner. Gehry says he collaborates closely with his clients and that Trump's indifference to detail and peremptory style of decision-making, quote, didn't fit with my way of working. Okay, here comes the positive part from Justin Davidson. He says you have to remember that when Trump Tower was proposed in the late 1970s, the city was broke, crime-ridden, and shrinking.
In the previous 10 years, New York had lost 1 million people. It had just come through a really devastating period in its history.
A financial crisis caught up with New York City. The Big Apple to Mayor Abraham Beam, but just a bad seed to President Ford and to many in the nation's hinterland.
Very little had been built. So there was all of this focus on just investing money in Midtown and getting some buildings going and giving people a, you know, big symbolic reason to stay in the city and to give the city some glamour and attractiveness.
But the glamour came at a price. The city initially denied public subsidies to Trump's luxury building, but he sued and got them, a tactic he's used over and over. Trump has reportedly reaped more than $885 million in subsidies on his properties in New York.
It's true.
Trump also promised that before he knocked down the Bonwit Teller building, he would preserve its limestone carvings and donate them to the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
But when he found it too expensive, simply trashed them.
That's Michael Sorkin again. And that's right. During demolition, Trump's work crew pulverized the carvings. Paul Goldberger says,
it was again an early example of sort of thuggish behavior.
Justin Davidson adds that it was
not the last time that Trump would not do something he said he was going to do
and pay no price for it.
An early example of the Trump Teflon, you might say.
So our judges are all thumbs down on Trump Tower, but they can't vote it off the island because it's 68 stories tall. Oh, excuse me, what's that? Oh, Trump says it's 68 stories tall. In reality, it's 58 stories tall. Trump lies about the height so he can charge more for the upper floors. It's also the first of 17 buildings in New York to bear his name, most of them owned by other developers who pay him to lease the brand.
Napoleon, Alexander the Great, Donald Trump, go big or go home.
For a certain type of tourist or voyeur, Trump Tower is more popular than ever. There's even a live stream of the lobby. And there are selfie-loving tourists crowding the sidewalk across the street, including a German businessman who gives his name as Fabian.
What do you think of the architecture of this building?
Ugly.
Ugly?
Yeah.
What makes it ugly?
Well, I don't like the brownish color of the window.
And yet Fabian has made a special trip on a rainy Sunday afternoon to immortalize himself in front of Trump Tower. Why?
Why I took a selfie, you mean?
Yeah.
But I'm here because the Trump was in the news all the time. And then, that's pretty much the reason for it.
Because Trump is in the news all the time. Like right now, at this moment. Because of the tractor beam of wealth and power and fame. For WNYC, I'm Jim O'Grady.